ReopenAmericaResourceCenter.com. Are you struggling personally or professionally because of the coronavirus shutdown? Ready to grow your business and serve more customers and clients? Finally, there's a trustworthy website with resources, relief options, grants, support, and much more for small businesses, nonprofits, and individuals. One location with all the information. It's time to get back to work, life, and reopen America. Visit ReopenAmericaResourceCenter.com today. The ultimate resource platform to help you in every way.
This is Everything Home, the transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness delivered by good people doing good business and good things. Let's take the word freedom. Wouldn't it be great to have more professional freedom, personal freedom, and how about financial freedom? Every week, Michelle Swinnick, the queen of quality content, interviews experts, entrepreneurs, professionals, and purpose-driven people to share their stories, their passions, and provide real-life, tangible takeaways. Get ready to be entertained, yet learn some incredible information. This is Everything Home, and this is Michelle Swinnick.
We have a very special Everything Home show today. My guest is Bob Massey. He's a practicing attorney, television personality, author, radio host, and public speaker. He combines more than 30 years of courtroom experience with over 20 years as an on-camera legal analyst for Fox News, where he also hosts his own show, The Property Man. He's provided analysis and reported on high-profile trials, including Scott Peterson and Michael Jackson, Unabomber, and O.J. Simpson. Massey runs his own law firm with his son, Robert, Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law in Las Vegas, Nevada, where he's been practicing civil litigation since 1980. He's a weekly featured guest on Fox and Friends in the Morning, and he delivers the Massey Memo. His third season of The Property Man was on Fox Business was here in Arizona. It's currently now on Fridays, Saturdays, and Mondays. And in my opinion, most importantly, he's genuine and authentic man who's extremely generous, and he really cares about people. So how are you today, Bob?
Michelle, thank you for having me. Good. Thank goodness. No complaints. And thank you for that introduction. I've been really very blessed over the years to, you know, sort of have the venue. I've always been of the opinion, honestly, I guess, you know, who we are, who we are, to educate people on the law, different areas, and to try to help them. And I think over the years that with the different venues that I've worked in that, you know, you try to give as much knowledge as you can to people, honest knowledge, because there's a lot of bad information out there, as you know.
Oh, extremely. And especially when there was so much chaos and destruction when everything went sideways beginning in 2008. I mean, on your show, when you were in the first season, when you were in Vegas, you showed a lot of the homeowners that you were helping out. And, you know, I know that these people didn't have money. So it wasn't like you were out there trying to charge them lots and fees.
No.
Like many of these attorney law firms were trying to do the bogus foreclosure rescue scams and the loan modifications. And I know that you weren't doing that because you actually really tried to help these people fight for what was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I basically decided early on that all I wanted to do besides the show and the stuff I do on Fox News, on Fox and Friends and some of the other shows is to counsel people and just try to help them. Honestly, I could have made a lot of money if I wanted to get into the loan mod stuff and the short sell things. And, I mean, they served a purpose. There were some loan mods in our country that was done successfully. There's a lot that weren't. And I think the biggest frustrating thing for people is that they were sold. There were non-lawyers that were out there doing stuff as if they were lawyers. And there were some law firms, which is upsetting to me that, you know, we're doing things and charging money that there was no way these people were going to get loan modifications. But saying that, there was a contingency of people out there that served the purpose that did help people. And for those people, I'm grateful because, you know, when you are losing your home, you know, and you've put all your money into it and people lost their credit and liquidated their 401ks and did a lot of different things. I must tell you, it was devastating for people. So then when they go to try to loan mod, and have spent maybe $10,000 or $15,000 to get a loan, to try to get a loan mod, and the lender continues to say no, 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 or they lost the information, or they want more information. It's a very, very frustrating procedure.
And you were heavily involved with that, partially because you were in the heart of it, which was Las Vegas.
Yes, no question. Just like Phoenix, excuse me, Florida, Vegas really was ground zero. We, back in 05 and 06, you know, what happened was, is people that bought homes, Michelle, in the 60s and 70s in California for maybe $50,000, now sold homes 30 years later for $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. They were able to come to Las Vegas and buy a home for $250,000 cash and lived in a home that they never dreamed they could live like in a home like that and banked for $500,000. The problem is we overbuilt and oversold. So everything went vertical. They overbuilt and oversold. Money was being handed out like candy. And look, if somebody said, hey, I want to buy a home, and they say, well, I can't afford a principal interest payment, but, oh, we could give you a 10-year interest-only loan or an 80-20 loan where they made it put a second on it to have them qualify or nothing down, and the payment's $1,100 a month. Oh, you mean I don't have to make a, I don't have to pay $3,000 a month for 10 years? Oh, I'm in. And so people got pushed in, some of them got pushed into them, but let me give you an example of something that shows where we have to lay some responsibility on the consumer too. I'll never forget this, probably back in maybe 2011, 2012. This lovely woman came to me, worked at the one of the hotels, and she was in housekeeping. And she came to me. Now, this woman never made more than $31,000 a year. She owned five homes. And she was upset that some of the renters left and she was being foreclosed on. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, I mean no disrespect, but did you ever think that maybe you didn't even make enough money to own one home? Well, of course, she was a victim of predatory lending, and I get that. At the same time, there are a lot of consumers, Michelle, that also have to bear some responsibility in what happened. But what upset the consumer more than anything was seeing these billions of dollars being given to lenders to bail them out. And I do have to say, to some extent, it's a good thing it happened because we may have been in worse shape. But then getting turned down for a short sell because of $5,000 or a loan modification because, well, they made, under the HAMP formula, they made $27 more a month than they should, so they get turned down. That's what really upset the people.
No, and I agree with you. I dealt with that personally, and when I was doing work at a law firm dealing with short sales, foreclosures, and loan modifications, and I saw that all the time. And these, you know, the lender would come back and say, "Oh, well, it was a strategic default." I said, "Okay, these people, they're so far down, and these are good people. It wasn't their intention to get in the position that they're in. There was, and you could see that they don't have the money to make the payments. And it's not because they overall, there was so many situations where the people just needed that, allow them to do the short sale or the loan modification. And I saw a lot more people really get the short end of the stick, which, like you said, it's a shame. It really ruined some people's lives. I saw marriages get dissolved from that.
Sure.
I saw people's personalities, just go sideways where I don't think that they're going to ever recover.
When these lenders would say to me, well, this is strategic foreclosure, I'd say, no. You said in order for them to qualify, they had to miss payments. So it's not a strategic foreclosure. It's an induced strategic foreclosure. You induce these people into becoming in default in order for them to qualify. And even when they did that, you still turned them down. So I have no love for the lenders, some of the lenders, not all the lenders. I know a lot of lenders that did a lot of good things. I must tell you, I dealt with several that sort of had a heart and tried to do it. My concern is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there right now that still are in situations where they're living in homes that are they're occupying, haven't made a payment in years, and nothing's happening, and it's like they can't even hit the restart button. Impossible. So it's a complicated discussion. It truly is.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's what are you seeing or what do you expect? Because, like you said, you know, we're almost at the 10-year mark of things, all this stuff happening. So if some of these loans are now coming due, where you've got balloon payments or you've got ARMs adjusting or you've got these loan modifications that are adjusting, what are you starting to see in Las Vegas? As those loans are now starting to
as a consequence of NODs,
problems. yeah,
notice of defaults are being filed. They were up last month. You're going to see more short sales again. You're going to see some loan mods trying to happen. You're going to see some bankruptcies because these 10 years are maturing. So I've had people come to see me already where their payment went from $900 a month to $2,600 a month. They say, "What do we do? What could you do? You know, could you want to take a shot at a loan mod? That's fine. But the fact that you're on a loan mod is not going to help you, and it's going to be you're going to have somewhat of a wave of foreclosures and short sales all over again. Has to happen, Michelle. There's no easy way out of it.
Yeah, it's almost like we need. The only good thing is there'll be some additional inventory, so maybe that will offset this huge shortage problem that we've got.
Well, the problem is that's true, except that. You know, in the process of having more inventory, you have people's credit that's going to be destroyed all over again that they took all these years to try to rebuild, and now they're stuck all over again. And that's the thing that's really upsetting to me. There has not been any type of real move here to try to help people with their credit and restore their credit. The lenders should have stepped in years ago and tried to do something with the credit bureaus to try to help people who legitimately did lose their job, legitimately did have a foreclosure happen or a short sale or a loan mod. And then at that point in time, say, let's try to help these people with their credit so they could get back into the marketplace of buying again. They didn't do a damn thing.
Well, it always seems to go back to money or somehow there's a political gain. But in that sense, if someone has damaged credit but they're a good consumer, that means that they can't go necessarily go buy the car. They can't buy the appliance. They're not spending money on the credit cards. So all of the creditors that are trying to sell their products or their lines of credit availability, say just consumer, they're actually getting hurt by not fixing this problem. So –
Well,
do you have a theory as to why nobody did anything or continue still not to?
Well, let me say this to you. The car dealerships, the credit companies, the big chain stores, they actually were more proactive. What they did, Michelle, is the car that you would buy for $40,000, let's say, and if your credit was good, your interest rate is going to be 2%, it's going to be 7%. So all they did was they looked at the credit, they looked at, you know, if they weren't late any longer on certain things, and they said, we'll give the credit, but you're going to pay more of an interest rate or more of a finance charge. And so people did it because people needed to buy a car, people needed to buy a refrigerator. So the consumer, from that perspective, and the retailers, they were more reactive to it because they recognized that the marketplace, look, there's more people that go out and buy those kinds of things every day than they go buy homes. So as a result, they reacted to that to some extent. The lenders, to make it easier for people or clean up people's credit because they legitimately had a complaint, they did nothing for these people. And so my son Robert, who's a lawyer, he has a great, I guess I could call it specialty in the law, where he helps people fix their credit if it's a legitimate, erroneous report. For example, let's say you had a short sale. Well, many times the credit bureau is reported as a foreclosure. Or let's say you file a bankruptcy and it still shows the debtor owed and not discharged. That's a violation of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So Robert – He has people come to him. It doesn't cost a dime for attorney's fees. He sends out a dispute letter to the bureau saying, hey, Michelle's house was not foreclosed. Michelle's house or Bob's house was foreclosed, was short sold, or they didn't default on the loan mod, or the Chapter 7. And if they don't fix it in 30 days, then Robert sends a demand letter to them for damages that's allowed under the federal law, and they have to pay all their attorney's fees if he's legally correct. And 99% of the time, he's legally correct for the consumer. There's millions of people out there that have violations. They don't even know it.
Well, and I see that a lot on reviewing people's credit reports for their new loans, whether it's a purchase or a refinance, and it's old stuff, and it's bringing down that credit score, which until they say, you know, like you said, they've been in their house for a long time, they're not thinking about doing anything, and then maybe now because their mortgage is due, the interest rate's changing, they're going to go ahead and look to see what's on their credit to try to do something. Then they find all these issues that have been sitting there. Meanwhile,
for years.
And they've been paying higher interest rates on other things because they just kind of maybe thought that was their score, not realizing it could have been corrected. So, you know, it's an epidemic in this cycle.
It's an epidemic. It truly is. And people don't I tell people, and Robert tells people more than I do, check your credit every 6 months, pull it up. There's a couple good sites you could go to. And, you know, you get your credit and you have to check it and see what's going on with this. Why is my credit not going up? What's the story? And they're legitimate, credit companies that give you that information. And there's a lot of credit, repair companies out there that say, oh, we could fix your credit. Well, that's true, assuming it's legitimate. If it's not legitimate, if it's fair reporting, then you can't do anything. You're stuck with it. You know, but if it's not legitimately reported, many times what happens is, you know, my son has my first name and my last name, different middle name. Well, he pulled my credit, and there was some stuff from his credit report that's on my credit report. Happens a lot. So I tell people it's very important to check your credit reports to make sure that you really understand what's on there. And let me tell you, they're not easy to read, but, you know, you have to learn how to do it because that's the only way you know what's on your credit.
But at least there is services like what your firm and your son are offering so people can get something corrected and be represented properly, not get charged up front, which a lot of these repair companies charge you, and you have results and you're out money.
Here's my biggest concern, and this is not an indictment on credit repair companies because some are very legitimate, but what they do, some of them, is let's say they'll charge you. They'll charge you an upfront. But then what they do is they charge you a monthly fee. It makes, let's say, $35. Well, what's that doing? I mean, either the credit report is erroneous or it's not. So a lot of times they sort of bait and switch people. And again, that's not an indictment on all the credit repair companies because credit repair companies actually send my son Robert business when they can't resolve it. He resolves it for them legally through the courts if necessary. Point is that people need... We live in a society, Michelle, where the consumer must be diligent and be their own advocate in many different areas. But the problem is there's a lot of bad information on the internet, and people like swear by it. And it's just not legitimate. It just isn't. And so as a result, you've got to go to professional, get some advice. In this real estate stuff, I mean, I do a lot of different law. I do business. You know, I do real estate, we do estate planning, I do high-end personal injuries litigation. The point is that I don't understand why people will not go get some professional advice. It's so inexpensive compared to after the fact. And I pleaded with people years ago. I would say, listen, before you jump into all these different programs of loan mods and this mod and that mod and get some advice and know what's good and what's bad. You know, it's funny. I was just at the supermarket yesterday. This lovely lady, she said to me, you know, Bob, she said, I came here 3 years ago. I talked to 6 or 7 other lawyers. And I'm not patronizing myself, but I'll give you an example because I'm sure there's wonderful lawyers in Phoenix and Scottsdale that did the same thing and said, hey, you're the only guy that gave me the scoop. And in this area of what's going on in real estate and what's happening in Phoenix and Vegas and all over the country again, people are going to make the same mistakes, Michelle. Trust me when I tell you. people make the same mistakes they did 10, 15 years ago if they have the chance to buy again.
Well, it's almost like their memory is, like, you know, 2 months. It only lasts for 2-3 months. They forget what they either went through before or the horror stories and, you know, and what their personal experiences. But and then like you said, they're going to do the same things and fall for the same line or the deal or the transaction or whatever
it
is.
Yes. I wrote a book 10 years ago. It's been HarperCollins published. It called People Get Screwed All the Time. And I went all I come to Scottsdale this week to speak on Thursday. I'm going to bring some copies if you're around. I'll be happy to give you one or send you
one.
Anyway, I went all over the country and interviewed people that's been really wronged by so many different people in all different walks, from family law stuff to real estate to business to, you know, wills and people getting ripped off. And what you find is the most important thing people want, Michelle. People want somebody to sit down and hear their problem. That's what they want. People's problems are easily solved when they sit down with somebody that's willing to listen and take that anxiety level down and give them honest counsel. And so those people that are listening to your podcast and those people that are in a jam, whether it be with real estate, whether it be a business deal, whatever the heck it is, just go talk to somebody that's in the profession and let them explain to you what your rights are, what you can and can't do, because it's 90% of the time, I say all the time, I'm attorney and counselor at law, and 90% of what I do is counseling, and 10% is the law.
It's almost like you become a therapist. And you're listening because they want someone to actually acknowledge what their problem is. And sometimes, hopefully, it's something that you can fix somewhat easily. Or it does actually have something, it's a fixable solution.
Well, sometimes I tell people all the time, when it comes to lenders, those who have the gold make the golden rules. And that's what the people of America found out. They found out how strong the lending lobby is in this country. And as a result of that, people found out that they're not even close to the pecking order. The lenders are at the top of the pecking order. Now, did a lot of people scam the lenders? Yes, they did. There's no question. And I mean, there's consumers out there that know that they did. But the problem is most people didn't, and they handed this money out like it was just nothing. They didn't care. It was a stated income. You could tell somebody made $2 million a year. They didn't even care. They just said people get approved in an hour on a deal.
I saw that tremendously. I mean, I started working once everything fell apart, and I said, oh my God, I got to get a real job because I got to pay bills. And you know, after being self-employed for 20 years, I said there was just no means to do that. So I went down to work at Bank of America, which just had transferred over to Countrywide. And a lot of the people there were still Countrywide people.
Yeah.
And the stories that they told me
were
it's almost staggering. Like if you put it into a movie, people would think it was fiction novel, because there's no way you'd believe it. I mean, we would open drawers and there's just files and files of stuff, and nobody knew where it was or what it was for. And these are probably, foreclosures and all that kind of stuff. They just threw places. And this is supposed to be the largest servicer in the country. I mean, it was a disaster. And I'd love to be able to share some of the stories, because it would make people just be in shock of the chaos that went on.
Well, the one thing I could say to consumers out there is that they have no excuse now, because people know what short sales are now. People know what judicial foreclosures and non-judicial foreclosures are. People know what loan mods are. People know what financing is more than ever before. So they can't cry wolf and say, I didn't understand or I didn't know. They know now when they go buy a home. They know what this means. They can't say that their head was in the ground for the last 10 years, because it was everywhere and continues to be everywhere. So it's not like this whole thing is going away. It's not going away. It's still here.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up about people knowing more so now about lending and all that. But the only thing that it seems like a lot of people don't know, which seems to be A very big problem and becoming more of a problem is the HOAs, the homeowners associations.
Yes, yes, big problem.
Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, I mean, look, homeowners associations, as most of your listeners understand, is designed and development to bring some uniformity and some rules and guidelines to where you live, okay? The problem with homeowner association, the concept isn't this concept. It's the people that are on the board. And again, there's a lot of wonderful men and women that do a terrific job on HOAs. More do good than do bad. That's a good thing. But the bottom line is the HOA, what the consumer, the homeowner has to understand is they have the power to lien your property for certain violations and take your property to sell just like a lender does. So, as I have said before, when you go buy into a community that has a homeowners association, what needs to be done more than anything is your own due diligence. People hand you the CC&Rs. Your realtor will hand you the covenants, conditions, and restrictions of the community. But in addition to that, you need to get and learn about the HOA. You need to go and walk the community. You need to talk to neighbors. You need to talk to people about what's the management company like of the HOA. Are they overbearing? Do they discriminate against other people? What are their policies? You need to find out who are these people that are on the board. You have to find out if there's been recent assessments, if there's any assessments coming. You have to find out the solvency of the board. I mean, there's a laundry list, Michelle, of things that need to be done. But let me tell you, if you get into a dispute with an HOA, boy, it's brutal. And it literally takes away the enjoyment of the experience of homeownership if you have the wrong HOA.
And I've had multiple issues in multiple communities that I've dealt with, whether it was a personal client. Or like I said, when I was working at the law firm, the amount of charges and extra fees and late fees and fines added to things that were so minor or wasn't necessarily even legitimate, like they were disputing the garbage can being out there 12 hours after the truck came. Come on. I mean, it's almost that bad. They send you the picture on the complaint letter and you're looking at the timestamp going, okay, it's not even been a day and I have a letter. I didn't even get home from work yet. So how do you want the magic garbage can to get behind to get off the front yard? And it might sound extreme, but I know that you've seen these. It's that out of control.
I see it all the time. I still see it.
And the cost. You want to discuss the cost?
Well, the problem is that from the initial letter you get from the HOA, prior to turn it over to a collection agency or prior to turn it over to a law firm, is usually affordable. So I tell people all the time, look, if there is a charge that's on there, pay it and let's go fight the violation after the fact. But if you default and they ultimately turn it over to a law firm or a collection company, that $400 or $300, whatever it is, goes to $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $7,000, and I've seen it. So what people do is they dig their heels in. I'm not paying this. Okay, all right, that's fine, don't pay it. But don't come to me 6 months from now and saying, how could they sell my house? Because it's just, it just doesn't make sense. They need to be proactive. When you get a letter from an association management company and you disagree, you need to become proactive immediately. And if you have an HOA that's resistant to you and not responding, pay it. Fight it later. Pay it and fight it later.
In your experience, for the most part, once you do fight it, is it get resolved, or at least at that point you're just settling how much extra in fees you're not paying?
Depends what it is. If it's over money, if it's always over money, then usually you negotiate. If it's over, hey, you painted your house a color that wasn't approved by their architectural committee, which happens, it's a different story, because not only do you have a violation, you got to change things. So, it just depends on the nature of the problem. It depends if it's strictly over money from a stupid violation, or is it over something that's more substantive where, somebody went and put a pool in and didn't get approval. I mean, people do stupid things too. They do stupid. I say, well, did you look at the CC&Rs? No. Okay. So, I mean, and the thing is, a lot of people feel that HOAs, for example, takes care of neighbor disputes. Well, they don't take care of neighbor disputes. I have a case going right now where I have a client, common wall, and this tree's been hanging over her their property for a long time. And they want the HOA to take care of it. So the HOA's not involved with that. You guys own the wall. That's your neighbor's tree. And there's an encroachment and a trespass and a nuisance there. But the HOA is not going to take care of that. Now, if it was in a common area, that's a different story. So a lot of times people ask the HOAs to do things that they don't have jurisdiction to do. So that's the kind of things. You just have to take each fact pattern, because they're all fact-driven, because they're personal, and negotiate and resolve them straight on. But a lot of people, Michelle, put their head in the ground. It drives me crazy.
Well, and like you said, we're in a very interesting time period when it comes to real estate financing, with where we are with inventory, where we are with existing loans maturing or adjusting. And you like even said, in Vegas, there's more notice of defaults being issued. People can't afford to put their head in the sand and ignore stuff, because it sounds like the companies that could cause some major problems in their life, whether the HOA, attorneys, collection firms, the lenders, could really are very aggressive right now.
Well, they are. And HOAs have found that if they exercise their lien rights to foreclose, they're getting paid, and people are buying very expensive homes for $8,000, $10,000, $12,000. Investors that watch these HOA sales, and they go in and they bid, and the HOAs, they get a portion, because there's a thing called a super priority lien. Super priority lien means that an HOA gets, like in Nevada, they get 9 months back of monies that are owed. They don't get dollar for dollar. But they have a priority lien over the first deed of trust on the property. They get paid first. So all I'm saying is that when you buy a new home, or you buy a home that's been there for a while, first of all, read the CC&Rs closely. If you have questions, get somebody to look at them, to interpret them for you. That's really first and foremost. And then understand the financing of the HOA, the solvency of the HOA, the assessments of the HOAs. Was this community a subject of construction defect? Because now you have a disclosure issue. So, I mean, there's all these people buy a home, and I understand, because of all, it's an emotional experience. It's wonderful, particularly young couples buy their first home. But it's a commitment of a lifetime. And as a result of that, you must understand what you're signing and what your guidelines are. That's very important.
So what are you seeing as the number one problem that people are dealing with right now in real estate finance, all of the above, and then where are we headed moving forward?
Okay. I think, let me sort of break it in categories. Let's break it in those people who have loans that are maturing, who are in a home, and they're current on either the loan mod from 10 years ago, and then it's going to convert. That, unless they're making the money, is going to cause a new wave of problems of loan mod, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcies. That's sort of the byproduct. The second group of people are those people that lost everything, have rebuilt their credit, and now qualify for FHA loans or conventional loans. They have to understand and remember what they went through. But nobody, the human being, has the shortest memory of anybody. Animals remember better than human beings do. I mean, they really do. Human beings just
are. It's so true.
It's true, you know. I mean, a dog knows when not to go in that one area, and they'll never go there again. Human being, they just forget. So the point is that, you know, they'll go back and make the same mistake. They'll go get an interest-only loan again, Michelle. If it fits in their budget, they'll do it. The third thing is the issue of dealing with HOAs. If you're in a home and you have a problem with the HOA, go get some legal advice and have the lawyers advise you as to what best course of action to take. If you believe that is a frivolous or discriminatory action by an HOA board or a manager company, don't be proactive yourself. Go get legal advice. It's cheaper, it's better, and you're getting the right direction. And then you have the investors. You have the investors that are coming in, as we know, that are buying a lot of property. And they're renting. So now, I was just on the Fox Business Channel on Friday on Stuart Varney, talking about how rents have gone up. Well, rents have gone up because there's no inventory. And so as a result of that, people are so desperate. If there was more inventory, they'd go buy. And let me tell you, they'd sign anything to own again because they don't want to get ripped off on the rent. But when you have the investors that are owning thousands of these homes and they're going to hold on to them until they maximize their investment, then you're going to pay more rent. So there's so many complicated things to look at when you're buying a home or living in a home that there's a loan that's going to come up the balloon or an adjustment. You just have to be proactive and get good advice. And if you don't, then you sort of reap what you sow.
And I guess it's almost at the point where there's a lot of bad information out there. So
terrible information.
Yeah,
even on television, Michelle, you have companies there. We guarantee this. You guarantee it. Well, show me where you're going to guarantee a lender is going to do a loan mod. Or some realtors were advertising, we guarantee a short sale. Really? You know, well, then what does your family own the lender? Is that the way you're guaranteeing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but the consumer becomes emotionally desperate. And when you have a consumer, i.e. homeowner, for example, that's emotionally desperate, they will do desperate things. And they will do whatever they have to own again. They don't even know and understand. That's why there's that 3-day cooling period now from when you sign the papers to take the loan. Because people were signing stuff, they didn't even understand what the hell they were signing.
Yeah, and then that causes some major damage, especially when they have these riskier loans. I mean, you brought up the interest only, and they're back. I mean, there's certain criteria, but
they're back.
People can still get them.
Are you kidding me? I have a buddy of mine. It's a lending business. He's doing more interest only loans now than he did 10 years ago. Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm saying people shoot themselves every day when it comes to this kind of stuff. They want to own. They want the American dream. And as a result of that, you know, they get themselves in a jackpot. You cannot be emotionally desperate when you're doing these kinds of things. Can't do it. If you do it, you're going to pay the price.
You're not making logical decisions, and you're just you're causing bigger problems because you're dealing with bigger amounts of money. You know, you're dealing with, there's always, you know, you're adding an extra zero onto certain things. It's not, you're not buying a shirt. You're not at the store buying something that's maybe a couple $100. You know,
They'll all come and say to me, Bob, I've put so much money into this house. And yes, you did, so the lender could have it back. Everybody puts money into their house. Anybody that's ever owned a home, you're never done. You're never done. You're either improving or fixing something or putting new lights in the backyard or painting or whatever it is, you're always doing something with the house. So people would come and say, well, I put $100,000 at home. I said, the lender didn't ask you to do that. You did it. You know, lender didn't tell you to put $100,000. You did it because it was your home. That's what we do. Listen, do you think some ivory tower lender with suits that's looking at a profit loss and they're looking at basically these different homes, do you think they care about you? Do you think that they care? They don't care if your dog died, your cat died. They don't care about anything. They care about getting their collateral back or getting their money. So if you think they have a heart, forget about it. You're wasting your time. That's an act in futility. When I was helping people consulting, and particularly 08 to 012 was very intense, I would tell them, put your gloves on and go to war, because that's what you're in. You're in a war with these lenders. And if you get to a certain point that they're not cooperating, they won't give you a loan mod. They won't give you a short sell. I told them, stay in your house until they tell you to get out. You've done everything you can. You did everything possible. You tried to do a loan mod. They said no. Should I do a short sale? They said no. You know what? Now it's their problem. I mean, Michelle, I have people living in their home 10 years that haven't made a payment.
Still?
Still to this day. Still to this day. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Never made a payment. And they'll come to me and they'll say, Bob, I'll say, listen to me. I understand you're not living in reality, which is a problem because you haven't made a payment in 10 years. But you have attempted over a dozen times to loan mod or short sell and get out, and they won't do it. So you know what? It's their problem. So you stay there until they tell you to get out. And that's what you do. Because when you get to the point where the lender is not willing to help, and you've done the best you can, and they're not willing to foreclose, well, they're not foreclosing for a lot of reasons. Either everything went through the cracks, or they don't have the original note, or there's some technicality. I think between NationStar and Ocwen, I think they're the two largest servicers in the country. They have no – what the hell do they know where a note is? Been transferred so many times. Most of the times when they sold these notes, they didn't do what's called an assignment of the note, so the note was separated from the security interest. They had no right to foreclose anyway. So let's say that you have a loan with Bank of America, and your collateral, of course, is the house. And they want to sell the note. Well, let's take Countrywide. Countrywide gave it to Bank of America, Green Financial.
Greenpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Greenpoint took a bunch of those seconds and firsts of,
they
of
did.
The
they
pile
took a lot
of junk they didn't want. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, a lot of times they transferred those. They didn't do a proper assignment. So if you don't assign the note to the people taking over and they just take the assignment of the deed of trust on the property, well, how are they going to foreclose? The note's been separated from the mortgage, so they can't foreclose. So that's why a lot of times when I would go to court in these cases, judge, there's no assignment here. They can't foreclose. They want to go sue on the note, go ahead, but they can't foreclose. So, I mean, it's very complicated stuff. But what I want your listeners to understand is this. Buying a home is a wonderful experience. Owning a home is a wonderful experience. Just remember, if you've been there before, the second time, shame on you. And if you haven't been there before, get competent people to help you so that you have a good experience. And so when you get into your home, you know that nobody's going to take it away from you. That's my message to people.
We already know that there's a lot of bad information out there. There's bad characters. There's people that are going to lead you down the wrong path. What are three things that the potential homeowner or homeowner should ask or should require or expect of the person that they're basically interviewing to say, should I listen to you or work with you to make sure that they feel that this person is someone who is going to give them good information?
You got to go by your own instincts. You know, it's like going to a doctor. You know, you've got to feel comfortable, and nothing stronger than referrals. Ask around. You know, does your lawyer do this kind of law? Do you know a lawyer? I mean, 95% of my business is referrals because people have had, you know, positive experience. It's the same thing in Phoenix, Scottsdale, anywhere in the country. You know, you got to get the people that you could trust, and you got to ask people you trust to help you get the people to trust. And so you got to be comfortable and ask questions. You know, when you go to a professional or a competent realtor or a competent lender, have your questions written down that you need answered. What does this mean when I'm signing this promissory note and this deed of trust? What does that mean? What does an acceleration clause mean in this promissory note? What does this mean? What is a grant bargain and sell deed? What does that mean? I mean, you got to ask questions, and you don't get the questions from the internet. You get the questions from common sense. And if you're in front of a competent person, they're going to answer those questions without you even having to ask. I mean, I get people that come in here and they'll bring me escrow papers. And I'll say, now, wait a second. I got 6 inches of escrow paper. You think I'm Evelyn Wood here? I'm going to read this in 2 minutes. You know, I said, I got to study this stuff. I got to be able to tell you the good, bad, and the ugly. So there, a little investment goes a long way. That's very important. Second thing is, if you're going to buy into a neighborhood, ask around. Talk to people. Knock on some doors. Ask them about all the things we talked about earlier. What's it like living here? How's the HOA? What's the common area like? What's the assessments? You know, make your own due diligence. That's just common sense stuff you need to do. And also, the third thing is, I mean, if it's a new development, I always ask these questions. I always tell them, let's look at the master plan. What's going to be built a mile from here or 2 miles from here? Because remember, at some point in your life, you're going to be selling that home. And it's always in the buy. So the question is, you know, what is there? Is it a corner lot? Is it a house that sits adjacent to a road behind you where you have to put a buffer up, you know, to have a quiet backyard? Is it an interior lot? I mean, you look to see where you're buying that will give you the premium when you go sell it. What will people want when they go to buy this property in the future? Now, when you're buying a home, you're so excited, you're not thinking of that, but you sort of got you have to think to the on the other side too.
Hey, Bob, can you give your contact information over at the law firm so someone can get a hold of your son if they've got the issues? It sounds like it would be a wonderful match there if we can help some of these people get their credit straightened out.
Sure. The website is massiandmassey.com, massiandmassey.com. The website is, the phone number is 702-870-1100. I do a Facebook Live every week on some subjects, from real estate to business to sometimes I do a little rant on something that's aggravating me, but it's a Facebook Live that's very popular that people wait for every week. So you could go to the Facebook. It's not a personal. It's a business Facebook, Massey & Massey. Robert does stuff on credit, different things like that. And that's how you get in touch with us. And, of course, I'm on Fox News every week on Fox and Friends, usually Thursday or Friday. My show airs on the weekends on Fox Business. And I'll be down in your area. I think I'm coming down Wednesday afternoon and coming back and speaking Thursday.
You're all over the country giving great information to people and to professionals to get them on track so that they are delivering good information to the consumer.
To whatever extent I'm able to give information to people because of what I've learned or what I've seen, I'm welcome to do it, because the more competent people we have out there, the better it is for the country.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm going to put your contact information on the site, the Facebook Live, all on our website. So that way people can always reference it. Yeah, and like you said, maybe we can get your son to help out some of these consumers. And I'm hoping that somebody will pick up some valuable information in front of your Facebook Live chats each week to help make their life easier and make for the right decisions on what's going on with their home.
I hope so, Michelle. I'm here to help any way I can. And thank you for thinking of me for your podcast.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I know your time is valuable, and I can only imagine what you're going to charge me for this. So I really, really appreciate you helping us out and coming on the show, which we did last Thursday on the
Patriots.
Sure, of
course.
9:60 a.m. And then
pleasure.
Today's podcast. Your information
my pleasure
is wonderful.
It.
And your content, and like I said, it's sincere. You actually want to help people, so you're doing this because you care, and it really comes out in when you're having conversations and you're just talking.
I was raised right, Michelle. I was raised right, Delaney. So
yes, you were. Your mom.
I hope to maybe see you. I don't know if you're gonna have time to come over to the thing on Thursday, but if not, we'll meet sometime for sure.
Oh, I'm going to try to scoot over there if they'll let me in the door, but I have a feeling that I can sneak over. I play golf there pretty often, so I can
I can
scoot in one of the doors.
Just tell them that I invited. Just tell them I invited you.
Okay, then I will definitely do that. So I will see you next week. And like I said, again, thank you so much. We'll have all your contact information on our site. I want people to contact you if they need help, especially if it's credit. And I'm going to definitely have you back on as often as you're willing to come
I'm
talk
here
to
anytime.
Me.
Anytime you need me, I'm here, Michelle. No problem.
That's so wonderful. Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it. I look forward to our wonderful new blooming friendship. So thank you very much.
I hope to see you on Thursday. You take care.
I definitely will. I definitely will.
Okay.
And good luck if I don't talk to you before you
no
do
problem.
Your event. So
thank
all right,
you,
I'll
dear.
Talk to you soon, Bob. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. We've been talking with Bob Massey, the property man, and I hope that everybody got some great information from Mr. Massey. He is such a genuine, nice man. Like I said, he really cares. He cares about making a difference and getting people the right information. whether they're buying, they're selling, they've got issues with their HOA, they're dealing with financing issues. I mean, he's the man to talk to, and definitely check out his Facebook Live feed that he does every week. So thanks so much again for Mr. Massey, Bob, coming on the show. I hope everybody got something out of it, and I look forward to talking to him again in the future. Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Did you know 63% of consumers prefer to buy from purpose-driven brands and businesses that reflect their own values, beliefs, and support charitable causes? Promos for a Purpose provides business owners with ways to support worthy causes and promote their brands at the same time with its comprehensive done-for-you marketing and media program. Visit www.promosforapurpose.com for more information.
Promosforapurpose.com.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick. Life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness. To meet, learn from, and hire the experts and the guests, professionals, and members of the Everything Home Socially Conscious Referral Network and Marketplace, visit everythinghometalkshow.com/episodes. And to listen, subscribe, rate, review, like, follow, comment, and share, go to www.everythinghometalkshow.com.
And find us on all the major listening platforms.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were entertained, and we hope that you picked up some real-life, tangible takeaways from some good people doing good business and good things. Till next time, this is Everything Home, signing off.